This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. You know, it's not often that the geopolitical, the macroeconomic, and the war news of the day are the same story. Maybe not ever on this program, I don't know, but that has for sure been the case today. The decision by the White House this morning to cut off Russian energy imports. About those imports, by the way, a couple of things you need to know, just because the numbers are getting bandied about pretty freely out there. As of last year, and these are preliminary numbers from the U.S. Department of Energy, as of last year, about 3% of American crude oil imports came from Russia. That is 3% of straight up crude oil from Russia. You add in petroleum distillates, it's about 8% Russian all in. So not huge, but not nothing. Which is perhaps why the president took pains to say this morning.
I'm going to do everything I can to minimize Putin's price hike here at home.
Stand by the way, for that Putin price hike phrase to be in campaign ads this fall. But the catch with it, of course, is that the president can't. No president can really control oil prices in the short term. Sure, drill more. But I was slacking with our energy guy, Andy Euler, this morning. His sources tell him from a standing start, even for producers with existing permits, it takes 6 to 9 months to get oil out of the ground. And that's if they can even find crews for the rigs. I believe we have talked a time or two about the labor market, right? So all of that considered, now what? Crude's at $130 a barrel, give or take. Gas is $4.17 for a national average, not inflation adjusted. That's important to say. But you don't have to have too long a memory to know that in the 1970s, the early 1990s, and even in 2008, big run-ups in energy prices led almost directly to recessions. That was then, though. This, in a pandemic and with a war on, this is now. So Marketplace's Matt Levin gets us going.
It does seem like every time there's a big shock to the oil market, the U.S. economy faceplants.
There's a remarkable correlation over history of recessions being preceded by increases in oil prices.
Jeff Frankel used to be an economic advisor to Presidents Reagan and Clinton. He says correlation was more causation back in the 1970s. Turmoil in the Middle East led to soaring gas prices and shrinking disposable incomes. But Frankel says the U.S. energy infrastructure has changed a lot since then.
We used to be a net importer of oil. Now we are roughly in balance. We export oil and natural gas.
That means states like Texas will boom when energy prices are high, and the U.S. can ramp up production domestically to tide things over for a while. And though it seems counterintuitive, the pandemic has made American consumers less vulnerable to a major energy shock, says Eric Friedman at U.S. Bank Wealth Management.
One of the things that is a positive coming out of the pandemic is some level of savings that people had been able to store up.
U.S. households have more than $2 trillion in pandemic savings they can use to weather $4 or $5 a gallon. Credit that to unspent stimulus checks, postponed vacations, and other delayed purchases. Plus, a huge chunk of the workforce is still remote or in some hybrid arrangement. Again, Eric Friedman.
There certainly is a cohort that will not be as susceptible to price increases at the pump.
Of course, many people can't work from home. Ian Shepherdson at Pantheon Macroeconomics says while the U.S. as a whole may fare okay through months of high oil prices.
For people on low incomes who don't have savings to dip into, there's going to be an unambiguous hit.
Especially when the cost of food, rent, and other necessities is climbing too. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.